Holidays bring feasting, fluffy dinner rolls, tasty stuffing, and your family's French toast bakes. With Hero Bread, indulge in your holiday favorites. Made with Hero Bread sliced bread loaves, bagels, croissants, buttermilk biscuits, and more. And don't forget their Hero Hawaiian rolls. With 4 grams of protein and 0 grams net carbs. Hero Bread has you covered with 0 to 5 grams net carb and higher fiber options. So your holidays stay delicious and balanced. Like their 3 grams net carb pan of chocolate. Hero Bread is offering 10% off your order. Go to hero.co and use code FALL25 at checkout. That's FALL25 at HERO.CO. All figures are per serving of Hero Bread. Contains up to 17 grams of fat per serving. See the product nutrition panels on hero.co for more information.
This is another Mixed Pod. We want to thank our supporters. This Mixed Pod is an episode of compilation of some best moments of On and Off the Field. We hope you enjoy this special episode of On and Off the Field's Mixed Pod. Yeah.
So we're going to ask you some questions, so lock in. You ready?
Ready? Let's get started. Who is your favorite NFL team?
The Philadelphia Eagles.
All right.
Why? Why are they your favorite team?
I really honestly don't know, because they draft a lot of Alabama players. I'm an Alabama fan, and they won the Super Bowl. So
okay, so okay. That kind of makes sense for you to follow your Alabama players to where they go with the Eagles. They do have a lot of Alabama
players. They do.
I did not realize that.
Yeah, they do.
Oh, my goodness.
They do.
Mason, you're off to a good start, buddy. You just stated a fact. You're so welcome, sir.
Do you like any other NFL teams?
I like the Baltimore Ravens.
Okay. Why you like the Ravens?
Lamar Jackson.
I figured
he's
that.
He's a great quarterback.
He is a good quarterback.
I got to give you your props.
So I got to ask you this, Mason. Do you think that he's able to win a Super Bowl, though? He's done everything. I mean, do you think he's able to win a Super Bowl, honestly?
It all depends on how his career will go.
Okay.
Okay.
All right.
But so look, honestly, he will.
Okay. Let me ask you this. What football position do you play for High Point Park?
Last year, I played on the offensive line. I played center. And this year, I'm trying to either play quarterback or a little bit of running back.
Okay, so if you had to play another position, it would be quarterback and running back, huh?
Yes, sir.
So which one are you better at, quarterback or running back? Which one would you prefer if you had to pick one?
Running back.
Why? Okay. Why running back? Saquon Barkley?
Definitely.
I knew that. How did I know that, Mace? All right. Here's a pet peeve segment right quick before we get you out of here. What is your pet peeve?
Ooh. Oh my goodness. I'm so glad you asked this question. It's very strange. I have two pet peeves.
Okay.
The first one is one that only my sister could get out of me. She does this thing where she just pokes me over and over again, and I hate being poked. She'll come in my room when I'm doing absolutely nothing just to poke me and run out, and it grinds my gears. But I love her still. I love her to death.
All right.
And then the second thing is I really I don't know if this is a pet peeve, but peanut butter, I think it's not a pet peeve, I think it's a phobia. Peanut butter is just something I can't get behind.
Okay.
You don't eat it?
I love peanut butter.
Why don't you eat peanut butter?
I don't know. It's just something about the texture and about the smell. I don't know.
Do you feel like it may be detrimental to you? Like if you, like, you know what I mean? Or something like that?
But you know, with his voice, he may.
That's true. Do you think it's because of your voice?
Can't sing.
That's a great question.
Can you sing? Try singing opera on peanut butter.
Subconsciously, it may be because of his voice, though. In the back of his mind, the peanut butter may be a turnoff because you may think it may dampen your voice.
That's true. It could. If I had peanut butter before singing, I sound like,
Okay.
You're awesome, man.
That's awesome, Nigel. I got to know this before we move to the next question. Coming out of the tunnel, what was that? You know, I see a lot of things nowadays. It's a lot of hype, and it's like, it's really I love it when, you know, they show pregame and they're in the tunnel and coming out of the tunnel. I hear a lot of players saying that the adrenaline rush. What is that like coming out of the tunnel to thousands of fans just screaming? Like, what is that like?
Well, it's an adrenaline rush, and you know, you get excited. You're already excited, obviously, because you know you're getting ready to play a game. You're pumped up because of, you know, the competition. I think the most, I mean, the time that I felt like the most pumped, we were playing the Chicago Bears, and I had an opportunity to play against D.L. Sayers, who was obviously one of the best running backs in the history of the NFL. And, you know, that opportunity, you know, I was sort of pumped. You know how sometimes when you're getting ready to play against talented people,
you get
a little bit more pumped than another time.
Exactly, Dr. Right. Boston. I love it. That's what I was talking about. I needed you to take me in the tunnel with you, and you just took me in the tunnel with you. Thank you for that.
Yeah.
What did you do with your first NFL check?
That's an interesting question. I probably went to the bank.
And made sure it was in there, right?
Yeah, no, I was, actually, we got paychecks. This was, you know, direct deposit was a long time away.
All right. How long did you play?
I played 2 years, with the Giants and 2 years in the Canadian Football League with the Vancouver British Columbia Lions.
Really? So, real quick, what was the difference between playing for the NFL and the Canadian League?
Well, 12 players for the Canadian League and 11 for the NFL. That was the biggest difference.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But the three downs instead of four downs, and the field was 10 yards wider. But the talent level really wasn't that different. I mean, because a lot of the players, you got to remember, there were a lot of talent that had no place to go because there were so few teams in the NFL at that time. So the talent level. But at the same time, there were only, if I remember right, 10 or 11 Americans who could play on a team.
Right.
So the Americans pretty much covered the talent of the Canadian teams. And then, obviously, over time, Canadians got better, and the quality of the Canadian team got better.
Okay, I can kind of figure that.
So tell us, how did you end up at Arizona State University?
Well, I went to the junior college. A friend of mine, Willie George Ellis, was up there, and they said he needs a quarterback. You know, so I went there in training camp. But the main thing was on my mind was I was married. And my mother told me I had no business leaving my wife like that, and she was right. So,
you were married when you went to Arizona State?
Yes, sir. I was married. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
And I had no business leaving my wife. My mother told me, you just come home to your wife. And I did. But I just, you know, I had to leave. But I tried it, but it didn't work. I just got married, you know.
So, okay.
But I had fun at junior college. It was a good experience for me, you know. I bootlegged a quarterback and went about 70-some yards on practice. You know. I was doing thrilled with that, you know, but I had to come home.
Right.
Hmm. Well, any dreams playing professionally?
Pardon?
Did you ever think about playing professionally?
Yes, I did. Yeah, I see the guys on TV now, and I see the smaller guys, too, and I look at myself, like the smaller guys playing now.
Right.
And I just think, wow, that could have been me, but it wasn't meant for me to be. Right. Same with my son, Rick. You know, I want him to be a football player. I went to Pritchard Park. Got him hooked up with the team. You know, he made good tackles and everything, but it wasn't in him. I looked at him good. It wasn't in him to be. I wasn't going to push him to be something he didn't want to be.
Right,
right.
Well, coach, you was on the field, coach.
I was on the field, man. I hit a joker one time. That joker was twice my size.
I said, hit him. I said, hit him. Rick hit him, got up like he was 10 feet tall. That's easy. Get that ass up.
Who would win a steel cage wrestling match between former President Obama and former President Donald Trump?
Obama!
Of course
you go. Trump keep up with him. All he got to do is...
Trump out of shape.
Trump is out of shape. All he got to do is throw a punch and back away. Trump can't keep moving. And then trip him up. You trip him up, you know he can't get up.
What was being a referee and working with my dad like at Montclair State?
Your dad, I have such fond memories of McKinley. He what a wonderful, wonderful guy. Everyone loved him. Everyone loved him. And he always, you know, I remember I was playing basketball.
Right.
I was working three jobs to put myself through school. Your father hired me to ref the guys, you know, and he was so flexible with me and just a great guy that, you know, was very understanding of kids' situations and flexible and very engaged with the student community of the college.
Okay. Awesome. Describe being a star female athlete during that time at Montclair State.
Well, I've never been about I know it sounds trite, but I've never been about I know that, you know, the whole is the sum of the parts. And I know that I couldn't, unless I had good support system around me, you're not winning in a team game. You're just not.
Right. That's right.
And so, you know, we just looked at it as the unit. We were Montclair State women's basketball. So that was from players to reserves, to starters, to coaching staff, to administrators, to trainers, to athletic department, to basketball community within the college. So that's kind of, we were just, you know, one brand is the way I would categorize it.
Gotcha.
Is this Wayne the Bounty Hunter?
You got it.
You know what show this is. A podcast with a purpose.
What's up, Wayne?
What's up, Wayne?
Oh, y'all got it?
Man, listen, we didn't know if we were going to be able to find you or not. We didn't know if you was at the game, going to see Williams, you know, at the last stadium or what, man.
Oh, yeah, I'm getting situated now. What's
okay.
Going on?
Who you going to see?
Put the cologne on.
I'll probably go and see Williamson and DC Rain.
Okay. Ooh. Coach asked you if you were putting your cologne on already.
Oh, you already got a pen to drop a stuff on.
You got anything for us?
Give us something quick, Wayne. We'll let you go. Girl.
Yeah.
Give us something.
Okay, this one guy we were looking for, we heard he might have been in his apartment complex where his girlfriend lived. Mm-hmm. We got there. We spotted him. We getting ready to move in on him. Mm-hmm. Next thing we know, we say, damn, he must have spotted us. He's ducking these bushes in front of these apartments. You know how bushes be built up around apartments?
Right.
Mm-hmm. He jumped in the bushes. So we sitting there getting ready to apprehend him. Next thing we know, we heard a woman went to screaming. Come to find out, besides being a bounty jumper, he was a peeping Tom.
Whoa, what?
Yep. So he jumped out, went to run up out of there, and shit ran right to him.
so he was. Wait.
So he was a peeper.
He didn't even know y'all was there.
He didn't even know y'all was there.
Huh?
He didn't even know y'all were there.
We thought he had followed. We jumped in the bus. We thought he had followed.
He looking at some. No,
to be watching women.
Oh man, he wasn't studying y'all. Y'all thought he was hiding. He was active peeping.
We thought he was hiding.
That's a rough, bro. What did he say when y'all got him?
He couldn't say nothing. He just looked.
Say it's over with.
Well, he knew who we were, because you know how we called, you know, so he knew who we were.
He already knew.
He already knew who we was. He knew we were looking for him.
So we can name him Peeping Tom. We don't need to know his real name, but his name is Peeping Tom. Hey, Wayne, you going to give us that dog bark? Wayne, the body holler. Hey, man, we appreciate you taking the time.
Enjoy the game, man. Enjoy the game.
All right, the Rockwaller holler.
All right, peace.
I don't pull a Rockwaller. I feed him gunpowder.
All right, Wayne.
All right, y'all have a good one.
You too.
Right.
All right, later.
Here we go. All right. Load a martini. All right. How does alcohol or drugs initiate violence?
I think that, again. So watch this. Again, it just came to mind. Wine is a mocker. Beer is a brawler. What does that say to you?
Right.
Wine is a mocker. Beer is a brawler. If I said that to you, what do you take from that?
I took what I remember in college when I drank certain alcohols. I felt very aggressive. You know, I felt like I got beer muscles.
Like it was mocking you.
Well, you just
being mocked. Yeah, right.
It can initiate it. I believe
Hennessy will tell you anytime.
Hennessy, yeah, dark liquor.
Somebody ready to fight. Like all of them trying to play you in here. Every single one of them. Every single one of them try to play you in there. Every single one of them. Like it's 50 of them. Hennessy gonna be like, you can take them all.
You see that dude over there? You can take them all. You see that guy right over there not paying you no attention? He looking at you. He talking about you.
Yeah, all of them. You can take all 50 of them out right now. That's what Hennessy will tell you. Hennessy will tell you that all the time. So I stay away from Hennessy. And I stay away from people that drink Hennessy for that same reason. Because if you drink Hennessy, you a fighter. I don't know if I want to roll with you. Dude. Right. I don't know.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
No, you know what? We do got some more. Liz, who's your favorite wrestler?
My favorite wrestler is Jerry the King Lawler and Ric Flair.
Okay.
I mean, because I love the nature boy. Don't get me wrong. Who doesn't? Limousine riding, high flying.
Come on now.
Come on, baby. Ooh,
and I'm having a hard time keeping these gators down. And I'm having a hard time keeping these. Woo!
So, you know, what else could you not like about that, you know? But Jerry Lawler was a hometown Memphis favorite, you know, like Jack Purtle Chicken, man. Finger licking all the way, Jerry Lawler.
So give us the history on
who's your favorite team?
Well, the New York Jets are my favorite team. J-E-T-S, Jets.
All right.
You know, shout out. Right. Y'all suck, but shout out. Y'all.
So why is it your team? Why?
Okay, this is a cool story. I grew up football. So my uncle both of my uncles were very, very big football fans. I had one uncle that was a diehard Eagles fan, everything, Buddy Ryan, everything, Chris Carter throughout the years. And then my uncle that raised me, he was a Steelers fan, big Steelers fan. So we used to, you know, football season, we sitting on the floor in his bedroom watching football.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that's how, you know, I love football. I was the girl in school that was like, hey, girls should be allowed to play football. Right. I wanted to be the quarterback. Right. I'm talking about I used to go on campaigns to let girls play football. It never went through, but now shout out to the ones that, you know, the girls that's playing football now.
So that's how
that's up there. I was up in Minnesota. Whoa. It was minus
70. Minnesota gets cold, but I've never been to Minnesota when it was that cold.
What's the coldest you've been in, Coach?
Minus 70.
What?
Yeah. You had to go out and start your car. If you weren't in a garage, you had to go out and start your car every couple hours or to die.
Wow.
Oh, yeah. Hey, oh, yeah.
So do you, this is a red flag segment. Do you pick up hitchhikers?
I do not. Have you
ever picked up one?
Never picked up a hitchhiker.
Okay.
Only person that's been in this truck besides me is my wife.
I can imagine that at the truck stops. Real quick. What's the average time you spend at a truck stop? And I guess that may be a dumb question. I don't know. I guess what I'm trying to
No, that's not dumb.
What is the average time that you spend at a truck stop?
The longest I've ever stayed at a truck stop was 3 days, but not because I wanted to, because an ice storm happened.
Okay.
And once it was over, it took 3 days for the ice to melt.
Okay. Hmm. So while you're there, you can't like work out or, you know what I mean? Work out or do, what do you, what is that like to sit at one truck stop?
What word am I looking for? It'll beat you down. I mean, you get tired. You only have the sleeper area in this truck is 76 inches, but that's from corner to corner like you measure a television.
Right.
Wow.
So from the back seat to the wall is maybe 6 feet.
Okay.
And from side to side is maybe 8. Wow. But you just think about it. Okay, I'm going to use this. A prison cell.
I was thinking that.
Mm-hmm. It's smaller than a prison cell.
Oh, no. Smaller. That's crazy. Wow.
So it weighs on you mentally, huh?
It does. If you don't get out of this truck and get a hotel room, if you know you're going to be in it that long in the truck stop, get a hotel room.
I was going to ask you if you do that. So you just get, basically they have the room right in the same area as the truck stop.
9 times out of 10, yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay.
All right. This is the what if segment. What if Iron Man fought Thor? Who you got winning?
Thor. No questions asked.
My dude is Iron Man. I'm just saying, my favorite character is Iron Man. I'm rocking with Tony, bro. I know.
All he has to do is grip that. All he has to do is get a grip. He get a grip of that iron, grip it out.
It's over with.
And that's over.
Yeah, yeah. They did fight though. Remember?
Yeah.
In the first one, they had a little brawl, and Loki broke it up by
No, so, Captain America did.
That was Captain America.
But they always had beef though.
Okay, okay.
Iron you want Man. Me to put the hammer down?
I love it. I love it. All right. So as a student, as an athlete, if you want to develop your own brand, what steps would you take or should they take?
What's the first few things?
Mm-hmm. Well, one, because it's the Wild Wild West, right? And I just read something on Threads about someone who's in brand development, very much in my capacity, and a sports agent wanted her to come on his team, right? Mm-hmm. Come on board with his team. He wanted to pay her 20% of his 20%.
Mm-hmm.
That's ridiculous. Mm. That's ridiculous because he didn't even understand all the work that goes into brand development. So right now, it's really difficult to zoom into who you should be working with because everybody's assembling. But you want to find yourself a marketing person who has some experience in building brands.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe someone who's got some PR experience. You may have to assemble a team of people. And don't think that you're going to go to legal counsel and get a lawyer. They're not the answer. Yes, you need legal guidance, but they're not going to be the team that's going to help build you out. You need to approach it as if you are launching a business.
Mm-hmm.
It's almost the same approach. Like, what do you look like? What is your tone of voice? What colors are associated with you? Mm. When you're photographed, is the angle from below to make you look mighty? Is it from, are you in action? Every visual and audio audible communication about who you are, you have to think about yourself in a way that a brand does. Think about Coca-Cola. Like, you already know how Coca-Cola shows up. Now think about McDonald's.
That's fine.
You are not a person. You are a brand, and you've got to approach it in that way.
That's fine.
You
got to
find a professional that understands what that means.
Wow.
Ooh, facts.
You give me some good answers. All right, describe what it was like meeting your wife.
So we met at Moody. Yeah, we met at Moody Bible Institute. She was from Scotland. That she grew up in a pastor's home over there.
Scotland,
the country.
Really?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So her mom and dad, they lived on the south side, black Christian family. But her dad felt the call to go to Scotland. And when she was 10 and her brother was 8 and her sister was 13, they all packed up and moved over there. So I was the president of our black student group on campus.
So,
and
Go ahead.
Yeah, continue. Go ahead. No, no.
So does she have a heavy accent, like a Scottish accent? I gotta know.
No. She didn't have an accent. She would use different words every now and then, like different like terms for stuff. You know, like the instead of the trunk of the car, she'd say the boot or something like that.
Oh, because I was wondering.
Yeah.
Do you have any children?
Yeah. No children. Okay. We have 15 nieces and nephews. So
you got children.
More than enough. More than enough. Yeah.
We normally ask our guests what your favorite NFL team was, but you said you don't really follow the NFL, but you do have a good Roll Tide War Eagle story. So can you finish telling that story for
us? Please.
Who do you follow? So Alabama or Auburn?
Anyone who knows me knows that I'm not a big sports fan, but I've got some friends that adore the sport, so I try to cheer them on. And anytime one of their games are playing, I say, "Go Brown Ball." So I got invited to an Iron Bowl game one time, and they kept trying to get me to go for years. I'm like, I'm not going to – I know y'all love it, but I hate the fans that are in your face and scream all their stuff they scream in your ear. I said, if I go, they better not be screaming in my face. They said, no, it's going to be great. It's going to be great. So some of my really good friends took us. We had a party bus that took us from Mobile to Tuscaloosa. It was top class. It was very, very nice. Mm-hmm. The campus was beautiful. No one screamed Roll Tide or War Eagle in my face. But everybody's like, well, what are you going to wear? That was the biggest thing. What are you going to wear? Say, no, that's not my thing. So I had a gray jersey made. And it just says, I just hope both teams have fun.
This is my daughter Mary's Nerd Nugget Fun Facts. Yeah. Jarrett was drafted in the second round with the 38th overall pick by the Milwaukee Bucks.
Wow.
Go ahead.
Yeah.
Tell them.
All right. Where were you when the segment, this is the Where Were You segment. All right. We have to get hand claps for this. All right. Where were you when you were drafted by the Milwaukee Bucks and described the feeling?
This would be hilarious. I actually was at the liquor store.
What?
No. I always felt that a lot of people felt I should have been a lottery pick. I definitely thought I should have been a first round pick. But when I didn't go in the first round, I was just like, man, bump this draft. I'm going to go to the liquor store. You got that? I remember my mom was just like my mom let me have it. She felt like, you know, that's your problem, man. You know, you do too much drinking, and you are like, mine's gonna be all right. Because, you know, people don't know. Like, it's always a blessing to be drafted.
Right.
But nothing's guaranteed. Only thing guaranteed is the first round. But whether you're drafted or undrafted, when you're in the second round, it's all about you still have to make the team.
Right. Tell us real quick your background, where you're from. Did you play high school football, basketball, sports you played coming up as a youth?
I born and raised right here in Mobile, Alabama. I didn't spend a whole lot of time, you know, anywhere out of town. So I've spent the majority of my life right here.
Okay.
I went to Williamson High School.
Mm-hmm. Shout out to the Lions.
Absolutely.
Biscuits and Sir went there too. Jamarcus, he knew what I was talking about. Hey, listen, T. Did you know about biscuits and syrup?
Look. Here's the thing. When you ask about the top bust or the number one bust, I was definitely going to give you Tony Mandarich because ain't nothing that you're going to be able to tell me when it comes to Jamarcus Russell.
Okay.
Most of the way through. You know, I've had an opportunity to see a lot of what the kid went through.
Mm, right. Sure.
On his way up and how great he was in getting there.
Right.
And then you also have to understand that this system that many of these kids go in. And here's another statement that I want to give y'all, a little nugget or a seed that I want to place in your
drop
ground.
Drop it, baby. Mm.
We skip over the fact that we get, and I'm just throwing a percentage out there, because you get maybe 261 players in the draft.
Mm-hmm.
We skip over the fact that we are getting at least 185 brand new black millionaires every year. What system is in place to make sure that that right there is helping to grow the community? Because the community is still looking the same.
Hmm.
From what I can tell.
Typically what happens, they get that money and they take care of their own extension, their family and their friends, and that's it.
And it happens.
Yeah.
And it happens. You know, good financial advisors are great people. And shout out to my guy, Rick Griffin of Rickstar. I know that's one of the things that I'm just throwing out there, but that's my guy.
Okay.
Shout out to him. Financial advisor with the NFL.
Hey, T, let me ask you this right quick. Do you think Jamarcus could have used better
Yes.
guidance?
Yes. Yes. Absolutely. You ain't even got to finish your statement, because at the end of the day, the one thing that I know is that when you center yourself around God-given people and people that are advocating on your behalf, there are some choices that I don't care how
you can say you don't give a damn. You can say that. You don't say you don't give a damn. Then.
Well, I don't give a damn how much you think you're in position to be in control. God got somebody there that's going to be a standard and a fence on your behalf. And most of this stuff that's coming across to you and most of these choices that you're trying to make because you got the money, you ain't going to make.
Barry, tell us about growing up in beautiful Cape Girardeau.
Well, Cape Girardeau was on the river, on the Mississippi River. If I like to tell people, it's between, it was not, to me, I tell people and they don't really like it. I just tell people, it's known as the bathroom between St. Louis and Memphis because it's on I-55, and that's where you stop.
That's right.
To, you know, but it's also the home of Rush Limbaugh, another radio personality, not of your stature, but he, you know, he did okay in the radio business.
I love it.
But my brothers, I have four older brothers. My mother had five boys in 6 years, and my oldest brother was in his class and went, you know, knew him, and we knew Rush Limbaugh very well.
Did you say five boys in 6 years? Did you say five? Yeah. Wow.
So listen, Barry, can I do this? I have to read this, right? And I skipped it, but because you come here like a rushing wind, brother. Let me read this. I want to read this to you because I want these people to know about you. Give me a few seconds, okay?
Okay.
Barry is a 1974 graduate of McGill Tulane and a 1979 graduate of the University of Alabama. In addition, Barry is also a graduate of the Conrad Hilton Hotel School of the University of Houston and also holds a master's degree from the University of South Alabama. He specializes in conflict resolution, creativity, project management, and working with diverse groups. Barry has owned a restaurant, worked in the cruise industry, and is the best concierge in any hotel in America. I just had to give you your props, man.
All right, Barry.
Shout out to you, Mr. Barry.
This is another MixPod. We want to thank our supporters. This MixPod is an episode of compilation of some best moments of On and Off the Field. We hope you enjoyed a special episode of On and Off the Field's MixPod.
AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at Rubrik.com. That's Rubrik.com.
Since 1981, Unbound has connected people like you with families worldwide on their self-directed paths out of poverty. A brighter future is possible for these families when we all walk together. Sponsor a child today, and you'll help a family take the first steps on their path. Change their future in just one click. Start walking with your new friend today at unbound.org/walk.